I want to talk to you about Samuel hearing God's voice. The writer of Hebrews is kind of winding down this section of the letter. It's Hebrews chapter 11. So he's kind of winding down, and Samuel is mentioned towards the end of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And it says, "And what more shall I say?" And he's already written of, he's listed just a great men and women of in the hall of faith, if you will, in Hebrews 11. And he says, "What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." Samuel, this guy grew up from a little boy at age, whatever age, 4 or 5, he grew up to become a man of giant faith. But it just didn't happen like that. And he was known as a prophet in his day who heard and then he understood the voice of God. So in other words, he wasn't hard of hearing when it came to the voice of the Lord as a representative of the Lord. Not like some people I know. They're kind of getting old. So, and I'm not talking about Kodera, I'm talking about the brother. Yeah, Chansom. This Chansom, man. So Chansom, he's getting kind of old, so he went to the doctor and he got one physical. Yeah, Chansom? Yeah. And he went to the doctor, and then a couple of days later, the doctor sees Chansom walking down the street with one young girl around his arm. Good looking. Oh, man. Chansom was like, yeah, living it up. Well, a couple days later, he went back for a follow-up visit. And then the doctor said, "Hey, Chansom, oh, you must be feeling great, huh?" Chansom's like, "Oh, I'm feeling good, doctor." Like, "Wow, I saw this just young lady just wrapped around your arm." Like, "Wow." Said, "Yeah. Well, that's just what you... when prescribed for me." The doctor's like, "What do you mean prescribed for you? Why, you said, go get one hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor looked at him like, "What? You better clean your ears. I said you get one hot mama and you gotta be careful." Ah. Oh. Gotta clean the ear. So I only had 24 hours to come up with that joke, you guys. Pastor Wayne, call me up Friday afternoon. "Rod, can you speak? Aaron's sick." I'm like, "Yeah, all in." There you go. You guys not like God. Your kindness not forever. I want to speak to you today. And I trust that we'd all incline our ears to three truths that I trust will kind of help us hear God and understand. Turn in your Bibles if you have your Bibles. Your iPhones. Hey, if you get your iPhones on, I get like 7 Bibles on my iPhone. So when I'm on my iPhone with Pastor Wayne, I'm not texting like that. Well, sometimes I have. But anyway, you guys get your iPhones out. No text or email, all right? Get your notes out. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And before we read a passage, I want to read through sort of the context of what's happening here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Here we go. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was," it was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. "And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim," he's getting old, eh? That kind. "Yeah, he could not see before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, 'Here I am.'" The Lord called Samuel, right? "So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am. So you called me?' And Eli said, 'Oh, I never called you. Go sleep.'" He didn't call him. So he went and laid down. And then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli. And he said, here I am, for you called me. Eli said, oh, you humbug, you boy. Go back, sleep. I never call you. Now Samuel, verse 7, Samuel did not know or yet know the word of the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So he didn't know the Lord, and the word of the Lord wasn't yet revealed. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli, and he said this, and let's read what's coming up here. Are you ready? Go. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel and continued to speak to this little boy, Samuel. What I find really intriguing, and let me give you sort of a broader context here. Now, if you've read Samuel, you can know the story. Hannah, his mom, was barren, couldn't have kids. Ended up being that Eli told her, you're blessed, you're going to have kids. Hannah had said, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate this child to you for serving you. I'm going to give this child back to you. Like, wow, that's big commitment. And so here, Hannah has a little son, and Hannah nurses and weans the child. And commentators, scholars say that he's 3-4 years old, and Hannah, the faith of a mother, to hand Samuel over to Eli to be raised in the house of the Lord. So here, mom gives. Now, what's even more crazy to me about that is Hannah offers her son, dedicated unto the Lord, right? But hands this little boy over to Eli. So he's older. If we've read our Bibles, we know Eli is not known to be a good dad. I start getting convicted. I think, I can be an Eli sometimes. I've not raised my kids at times the way that I've wanted to raise because, man, I've been at fault. Eli has two sons, pastor's kids. I mean, they're bad. They're called evil in the sight of the Lord. They're not obeying the Lord as to how they're presenting their offerings. And God says they're evil. All the more, they're checking out the chicks at the entrance of the tabernacle. They're not just checking them out. They're not just going, ooh, Hophni, check that one out. She's a babe. They're like seducing, and they go, and they have sex with other women. Oh. Pastor's kids. Now think about this. This is the faith of Hannah. Here, Hannah, mom, gives Samuel over to Eli. Think with me. Do you think, in the context of that day and that time, that people knew sort of Eli's reputation? Do you think, I would venture to say, people were, they had some backroom conversations. I mean, it might be front room conversation. The Jewish community, I mean, there were pockets of people that's probably thinking, oh, man, the pastor's kid, you saw him. Holy man, they're hitting on the cheeks. Well, they don't know how to do the offer. Like, this is evil. This is, now seriously, this is evil stuff. They're representing the priesthood. They're representing God. You think, Hannah, Eli. Oh my goodness, she definitely had a trust and a faith in the Lord. I want to encourage you, ladies, and especially moms, whatever ages your children are, to continue trusting the Lord with them. Wherever they're at, might be serving the Lord, might not. It might be 5 years old, might be 3, 2, might be 32, Trust the Lord. Continue to pray. Continue to believe. And so here's Samuel growing up, right? And then beginning to hear the word of the Lord. It was rare in that day. Number one, check this out. Hearing God's voice has to involve hearing God's word. Hearing God's voice has to involve hearing God's word. Oh, I know that, Pastor. Okay, right? Hearing God's voice has to involve hearing God's word. Read the scripture with me in Romans 10, 17. Ready? Go. So faith comes from... Hey, wait a minute, you guys. I know I'm not Pastor Wayne, but you guys can pick it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Let's start again. Ready? Go. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When Paul is writing this, he's writing of a salvation faith. How many of you heard this passage before? Hey, faith comes from you. You want to build your faith up? You need to hear. You need to get in the word. True. But let me tell you, in the background of this text, this faith that Paul is writing about, it's salvation faith. It's a saving faith. We need to hear the words of Christ, meaning the gospel. We've sung of the gospel of Christ today, that he's good, that Jesus came to reconcile us, that his life and death on the cross and the resurrection and who he is has redeemed us. He's forgiven us. I am completely set free. I am not imprisoned to the old nature. I'm not. I still live like the old nature. I still talk like the old nature sometimes, but I'm not imprisoned by it. I am set free. And that's the gospel message, our salvation faith. We have heard. I would venture to say that most of us have heard the gospel and we said yes to Jesus. And so has begun our salvation faith. Now I would say to us, let's continue to hear his voice by hearing God's word. We've got the gospel. We know Jesus. But if you and I are going to grow in our faith, we're going to need to continue to grow in this. How many of you want to be likened to a Samuel? Hey, I got convicted. I'm like, ooh, I'm like an Eli in my own way. It's like, well, I've not done everything right. I have some regrets. And I don't want to be like an Eli's son. But, you know, sometimes I deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of my eyes. I deal with the pride of life. It's true. I deal with that. But I'm saying, God, help us, help Rod, help my wife Becky, help our children, help us as family to become more like Samuels who hear his voice. But we've got to hear his voice by hearing his word. Amen? Amen. Hey, honey. This is my honey, by the way. I told you. Those of you who don't know, she is white. I like teasing her. Thank you. Yeah. Can you come with this? Yeah. There you go. 29 years that girl stayed together with me. Almost 29 years. Praise the Lord. Awesome, man. Okay, just checking. I heard some men like, "What, you guys cheering at my wife? I know she's good looking, but yeah, she's not cheating." Thank you. I wonder how many times we're hearing, but we're actually plugged into another voice. Hey, it's okay. Well, how many of you have iPods, iPhones? You listen to song, Pandora's box or whatever box they have. Sound box. Plug into your computer, right? Yeah. Oh, listen to Pastor Wayne podcasts, right? I wonder how many times we plug into our career and the voices. Oh man, you gotta pursue. Man, you get your retirement. Not bad, but we just more voices flooding. But you gotta be secure. It's all about your money. You gotta provide. Yes, you gotta provide, but it's like flooding thoughts. And we're plugging into this more than the word? What about us plugging into relationships? Hey, you know I can glorify my family more than God? I think I can. My wife, esteem her above God. I think we got to be careful. Put our kids, put our relationships before God. My wife and I had the honor of speaking at a conference. In fact, I saw you. Hey, these guys are the head of the conference, Fuse West. Joriel, raise your hand right here. Good to see you guys. Fuse West, all right, Fuse West. I get distracted that way. But I get back on track. But my wife was saying, anyway, it was at the dating young adults conference that we had. It was so awesome. You did a good job. So my wife was saying, I love Jesus more than I do Rod. Well, at first, I've counseled couples like that, and the other person was like, because they didn't have an understanding. It's like, I'm so glad she loves Jesus more than me. But because of her love for Jesus, I love Jesus more than Becky. But because I love Jesus, man, I have an undying covenant love for the wife that God has given me, and vice versa. Yeah. But I don't like just stay plugged in. Oh, honey, babe, oh, you're so hot, man. You know what I mean? And then, we plug into problems. Oh, we get problems. She married one problem. And issues. But you know, those voices can keep going. Oh, man, it was this marriage hard. Oh, when kids come along. Oh, my God. Pastor's key. Oh, man. I tell you what. Oh, plug into the noise of the house. Hey, have you been to my house? When I get mad, Kaimiki, I'm shutting the windows, man. I shut them. And the kids know when I start shutting the windows, whoo, my volume going up. I'm plugging into anger. I'm plugging into outbursts. Say, oh, Rod, you burst out. Oh, burst out in praise. Not really. And I plug into my sinfulness. And the Lord would say, oh, Rod, man, you hear my voice and it comes through my word. Oh, hey, this is kind of Bose noise canceling. And I'm being transformed in my heart. It's not always lived out. It's not always talked out. I'm being transformed. But see, while I'm dealing with, and we reconcile issues, and we work, and we make money. But if we're just plugged into our hobbies and passions and careers, and we lose sight. Oh, blessed is a man who walks not in the way of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the path of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree. Oh, Rod, I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth fruit in its season. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Oh, you shall be careful to observe and meditate in it. And then you will have good success, and your way will be prosperous through the word of the Lord. I'm glad for Pastor Wayne and our hearts and us encouraging one another to do our devotions. I'm glad for the soap method. It's a method. Whether you do it, it's a good method. It's a life-giving method that helps us to get in this word and then to get into life groups to share. Oh, what better way to hear God's voice? And you hear God's voice through fellowship. Amen? Yes. We do. We hear God's voice through fellowship. Number two. Listening to the right voice will lead to following well. Listening to the right voice will lead to following well. Read the scripture that comes up, John chapter 10, beginning with verse 2. You ready? Go. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep. What does the sheep do? Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Because why? They know his voice. Why is that? They know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. Say, never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I recognize strange voices.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the kahibahala kind. I get plenty kind voices by me. I
recognize strange voices, meaning voices that come my way that are of my own sinfulness. I recognize those. They're strange. And what do? I need to run from them. I recognize it because, you know why? My shepherd knows me and I'm his sheep. And I know his voice. But to better know his voice, we've got to follow what voice? It's the right voice. Because following the right voice will help us to follow well. I imagine in this room out under the Ohana tent, those streaming, I wonder what your stranger's voices are. If it has to do with the sinful nature, if it has to do with the noise that's happening just around you at home, conflict that's there. I mean, it could be from conflict to just your own personal pursuits. Us being God in control, wanting to be in control. What is your stranger's voices that you're dealing with? And their voices that are maybe coming at you and filling your tank up here. And the Lord's saying, hey, you need to return to hear my voice and what I'm saying about the situation. You need to return because the right voice will help us to follow well. I dropped off my daughter she goes to Kapi'olani Community College, and I dropped her off, and I was pulling out, and a car had, so I was going this way, a car had swung in to park, so I was a little ways away, and I was driving the speed limit in the parking lot, by the way, 25 miles, now I wasn't going 25, it was 5 miles, I was going real slow, car pulled in, and then this young lady had her books, and she had earphones on. She got out of the car, and I saw her. And she just looked the other way. And she started walking. And then she kind of turned like this. All happens kind of quick, right? I'm like, so all this happening good. I'm right over there. I'm like, she don't see me. And I'm like, in my head, well, I had evil thoughts. Oh, I can jam that pedal to the metal. Rawr, race with my little Toyota Yaris and crank the horn. I never do that. It's evil. It all happened so quick. She turned and then realized, turned and like, startled. And I was just kind of slowly creeping up. And I just smiled. I'm like, you dumb. Anyway, I was just, Temptation of those thoughts. Actually, the guy that asked me, was in prison, and he said, you know that story you shared? Did you have to repent of that? I'm like, should I repent of that? I don't know. It was just quick thoughts. It wasn't in my heart. Maybe I should repent. Anyway, I'm starting to think about that. And you know what? That's not the right voice to listen to. I wonder the voices that some of us are listening to that's just causing us to veer off in a direction where we're not following Jesus well. Be careful. What is that for you? What is that for you? What is the Holy Spirit kind of pinpointing on you? Number three. Like this. It's partner hearing with understanding. Partner hearing with understanding. And let's read what Paul has to say And he's speaking to some Jews and Jewish leaders in this circle. Now, they're pretty steeped in their religion. I mean, they know it. Right? In fact, he's sort of imprisoned. Right? He's on guard at this time. And so he's speaking to this crowd. They know it. They got it. They live in it their way. And let's read what Paul says. Ready? Go. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become, what is this people's heart? Calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have what? Closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Wow. I think a calloused heart has something to do with sort of breaking that, coming in between the partnership of hearing and understanding, the wisdom of understanding. And it's like heart check time. And not only what voices are you listening to, where's your heart at? Because that's going to disturb your hearing, a calloused heart. I heard it said, people don't listen to understand. This is for us men, by the way. People don't listen. Men don't listen to understand. Men listen to reply. Now, women too. Bago pick on us. What is that? It's 11 o'clock service. Okay, kind of. I'm going to pick on us men. Us men, I tend to listen to reply. I don't listen to understand. Now, those of you in relationship, you're dating or you're married, let me tell you, these questions have really helped my marriage. Check this out. When my wife is like, you know, just wanting to unload, vent, express her feelings, even when it's not convenient for me and watching my mixed martial arts, which are, you know, I'm plugged in. I spend too much time, yeah, watching that sometimes, yeah, honey. Well, I'm like, who she like talk at the most inconvenient times. But, you know, being the godly husband that I am, plugged into hearing the right voice and wanting to follow well, I'm like, oh, honey. And check this out. Honey, do you want me to, like, just listen to you? Or do you want me to listen and help you? Oh, okay, just listen. Me, because I don't like just listen. Sometimes, lady, just like, me, I like, I know how to fix. I can fix you, I can fix that. I cannot fix stuff around the house. But I can fix lots of stuff. But yeah, honey, that's helped our marriage, huh? I mean, I don't know if I've been successful in that, but. And hey, women, you guys in the same boat. I heard about your chatterbox groups, all the ladies. You guys like talking away from, oh, wow, that guy and Susie talking so much. You like talk too. But we want to listen to understand. We want to hear to understand. Check this scripture out, Proverbs 1:5. If you're taking notes, write that down. Proverbs 1:5 says this. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. So hear and you'll increase in learning. And the one who understands will obtain guidance. You'll obtain guidance when you begin hearing and understanding. At one time, also, honey, I told the other service, I'm going to tell these guys, no, like leave them out. Yeah? This guy, okay. So my wife, she has two hearing aids. Yeah. Hey, by the way, some of you think, I know you like, oh, he picks on his wife. I love my wife, that's why. And then I get permission. Yeah, hon. This guy, we good? Huh? Come, give me one fist pump. No, for real. Ah, come you are. Hey, so I get permission. I do. We love each other, that kind. Yeah. So she wears two hearing aids. She has hearing loss, like 50, 60%, both ears. Yeah. So if you talk into her, I mean, She get her hearing aid, but sometimes, you know, even that, yeah, is a mechanism. So if you think she's ignoring you, she might be, I don't know. So check this out. Check this out. Oh, sister. Me, oh, I love my wife. I mean, I like talk. I'm kind of emotional, passionate. You know, I like, hey, so going to bedtime, I'm in the other room and she's, you know, getting ready for bed. And then I'm like, hey, honey, love you. Honey, love you. Oh, I don't know. I start getting mad. I like want to love you in return. I mean, I say I love you because I mean it. And no need not, but, you know, so, hey, come on, ask me. We like honor, you know what I mean? We like, hey, little reciprocation kind. Hey. So I'm looking for, like, I love you back. I'm like, oh, you feel love. We got to feel the love, you know what I mean? I go back. I'm kind of like, did you take your ears out? Oh, I go out, give her a hug. Oh, I love you, honey. You know, it's hard being, you know, hearing loss. I'm going to tell you another story. Hey, when I get mad, you know how I am. I told you a little bit. Oh, I'm closing up with the kids. I close the windows. Oh, and that's the kind of intense time, man. I never know. She never tell me. I found this out by myself later on. There was times I'm closing the windows, getting ready. She go, take her ears out. And me, I start, I'm getting, whoa, window. I'm like, I'm laying in, man. Hey, I'm speaking truth. I'm disciplining. I'm reaming on, man. I'm the boys especially. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going at it. Like, no joke. I mean, I'm going, and then I'm thinking, and you know, hey, we partner together, we husband and wife, we like, and so I'm looking for an amen kind of thing, you know, she's doing something, I'm like, right, honey, honey, I find out she take her ears out. I might be saying all the right things, and my tone, my attitude. See, what I'm hearing and where I'm plugged into, might be some truth to it, but, oh, so much flesh. Who would want to hear that? I like to take my hearing aids out, too. Hey, by the way, I'm getting a little bit sidetracked right now, but at least I know it. You know what I mean? No, I want to seriously talk to you. Since we're talking about husband, wife, I tell my kids this. I really think some of you men need to hear this and relate, you couples. Okay. This is like, I tell my kids, because sometimes the kids, they know it, like, hey, we can get, even mothers get so plugged into their kids, they forget about the husband. Like, hey, come on, we need attention too. So my wife and I are good. I tell my kids, though, discipline, because sometimes you feel entitled, man. We try to bless them. We get a hard time sometimes. I tell them, hey, from young time, I told them, I said, if we're out and we all drowning and it's life and death and I get the raft and only get one more seat, I hope you guys know Jesus, because I'm going to pull your mother in the raft. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I'm serious. I don't want to be in that situation, honestly, but it's like, hey. That's the kind of commitment I want till the end. But you know where that commitment comes from? It comes from this. It's knowing, believing, being convicted. Because I want to hear his voice, I need to partner with hearing his word. I do. And if I want to hear the right voice, I need to hear the right voice to follow well as a husband, as a father, as a minister. I don't always do it correctly, no. But as I partner hearing with understanding, wow, Lord, help us with that. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh, God, you're incredibly good, incredibly good. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you again for just this time of being able to hear your voice through your word. God, I pray that all who are here in the Lead Center, in this place, out under the Ohana tent, that you would continue to draw our hearts, all of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian, how mature we are, or we're brand new in Christ, all of us, we come to the foot of the cross. Help us to be Samuels who incline our. We're learning to hear your voice. But God, you've given us your word and you've given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you. Lord, I believe there's conviction in the hearts of your people even now that we want to be the kind of sheep that hear our shepherd's voice. We want to be led by you, not led by our flesh, not led by our pursuits, not led by our career, not led by money, not led by passions and hobbies. And Lord, we want to be led by you. Thank you. Well, every head's bowed, there may be some here that have never said yes to Jesus. And that's the faith we're talking about initially. We all need to come to that place where we surrender. And if you've never surrendered or given your heart to Christ, right now we'd like to offer you that opportunity. Already in your heart, there's something going on and saying, yeah, I want to believe. I do. I'm beginning to believe. Well, we want to help seal that. And if you want to say yes to Jesus, or even if you want to rededicate your heart, you're like, you've listened to strange voices and you are in a strange, strange place. Wandered away from Christ. And if that's you, if you want to say yes to him first time, rededicate your heart to him, just lift a hand. Just unashamed, unto God. Because God sees the heart. You're not doing it for Rod, for man, for people, a person next to you. It's for God. Lord, I rededicate my life. Let's pray this together. And those of you receiving Christ, praying to rededicate, I mean, we all, church family, let's all rededicate our hearts. Let's add our hearts to this prayer. Pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forever kindness, your forever goodness, your forever mercy. Thank you for sending your only Son. And dear Jesus, I thank you for your obedience to living, dying on the cross for my life, for all of my sins. I give you my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come and live inside of me. I want to hear your voice more and more clearly. Be my Lord and Savior. And I say this so I can hear myself, so others can hear, so you can hear, so even the devil can hear. I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And Father, thank you again for leading us all, that your kindness, it's your love that really draws us to this repentant heart for all of us, God, for all of us. Lord, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your presence here in this place, the freedom that we have to worship you in song, to hear your word proclaimed. And now help us to live that freedom out, Lord. Help me to live it out where it counts as a husband, as a father, God, as someone in the community. Help us all, God. We just transform us, renew us. We pray in Jesus' name. We say amen. Can we stand and applaud the Lord and those who receive Christ? Amen.